Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few moments, I would like to invite you to stick around. It's going to be a little bit of time here where we have some motivation, some inspiration, some education, and it'll be done without any manipulation. We will not manipulate you. We won't ask you for money. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're not going to ask you to join up, fess up, give up, nothing like that. Our show is simply about giving you accurate information. Information that can help you verify and possibly identify the plan of God for your life. And in fact, if you're interested, you always have the freedom to orient and adjust to the plan. That's up to you. But I can assure you my job is to give you the information and to give it to you accurately. I'm not here to mislead you. I'm not here to recruit you. I'm just here to give you information. I hope you're listening, and I hope you're learning, and I certainly hope you will apply. The Lord Jesus Christ made a statement to a woman in Luke 11, and he said, "Happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and who keep it." The big test is, can we keep what we hear? Or can we convert, this is one of the ways we talk about this, can we convert the knowledge that we learn to the full knowledge that we apply? The Greeks had two words they used for this in the New Testament time. One was called gnosis, or spelled G-N-O-S-I-S, gnosis or Gnosticism or knowledge, and the other is epignosis, epi being a preposition representing full. So one was knowledge and the other is full knowledge. The difference between the two is information you heard, understood, and information you heard, understood, and applied. The epignosis is the applied information. The gnosis is the information you heard and understood. You'll hear sometimes people tell you that knowledge will puff you up. Exactly right, if that's all you have. If all you have is information that you know, but you don't apply, then you get arrogant about it. So we want to talk about that mind today. You know, we often talk here on The Flatline. Remember, our show is called The Flatline, and that is that military acronym for the forward line of troops, and we're using the military metaphor here about how the main line of resistance in your life, those 10 unique problem-solving devices that we teach all the time, how if you will learn them and deploy them, they can stop the outside sources of adversity from becoming the inside sources of stress. That adversity is always there. The stress never has to be there because we are Christians. We live a supernatural life. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to live in guilt. These are things that we don't have to do. We don't have to be bitter. We don't have to be vindictive. The rest of the world doesn't understand that. And so there is a way to live, a supernatural way to live, under the filling of God's Holy Spirit and being empowered by God's Word. And that's a balance of residency in your soul, kind of like a seesaw. You got the filling of the Holy Spirit on one end, and you got the Word of God on the other end, and there's a balance in your life. And when you live like that, then you can control what you think. Because the Bible says we are what we think. The Bible is clear about that. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And the Bible is clear that if God wants to check you out, he's not going to look at your image and your style. He's not concerned with what you're wearing, how cool you are. In other words, he's not concerned if you're hip. He's concerned if you are conforming to his image, if you are conforming to his will for your life. And for the believer in Jesus Christ, if in fact you are a Christian, if in fact you have accepted Christ as your Savior, then your spiritual IQ is much more important than your human IQ. I don't even know my human IQ. I don't even care what it is. I'm not the most brilliant puppy in the barrel here, but spiritual IQ is a different story. Spiritual IQ is your content of the Word of God in your soul. And that comes from having equal privilege and equal opportunity. The justice of God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Savior, guaranteed each one of us equal privilege and equal opportunity. We have the privilege to receive Christ as our Savior, and we have the opportunity to take the Bible, the canon of Scripture, the Word of God, and learn it and use it and apply it into our life. We all have the same privilege and the same opportunity. I don't care what side of the tracks you come from. You cannot ever blame your failure or your misfortune on your environment. We are all a product of our decisions, not our environment. And yet so many times, arrogant people want to say the reason that I'm such a bad person is I grew up in a bad environment. Listen, that's not true. I grew up in a bad environment. I grew up in an environment where I never met my father. I don't know who he is to this day. I grew up in a federal housing project where my mother was a single parent and she worked and I was let to roam the streets in a housing project. That was a bad environment. But thanks to the grace of God, through finding Christ as my Savior, my life and the direction of my life turned around, and it can do that for you too. It's an amazing thing. The Bible says if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things become new. It's wonderful that at the age of 22 years old, I had a chance to start my life all over again in Christ. And you can too. You can have a new life in Christ. Anything that's behind you, the slate can be wiped clean. They were all paid for. All of our sins were judged on Him on the cross. And that forgiveness was extended to us by means of what the Bible says, He that believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But he that believeth not, the wrath of God abides on him already. So we all have the privilege to accept Christ as our Savior. We all have the opportunity to take God's Word and learn it under the filling of the Holy Spirit. And then we can take that Word of God, the Bible, what we call Bible doctrine, and you put it into your soul, into the mentality of your soul, where it becomes part of your memory center, part of your frame of reference, part of your vocabulary storage. This is how you begin to represent Christ in your life. This is what you do. You assume the mind of Christ. The New Testament is the mind of Christ. So when you begin to think like He thought, you're beginning to assume the mind of Christ. So listen to what I'm about to tell you. As goes your thought life, so goes your spiritual life. As goes your thought life, so goes your spiritual life. How do I know that? Because Revelation 2:23, God said this, I am He who searches the mind and the heart. So if God wants to check you out, He's looking at your thoughts. Now the word mind is the Greek word nous, and the word heart is the Greek word cardia. We get cardiac or cardiology from cardia. Remember that word nous and gnosis and epinosis I gave you earlier? The mind is where the gnosis comes, but the heart is where the epinosis goes. When we hear it in our mind. We understand it. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to make it spiritually perceptible. But you have volition. You have the choice to choose. And if you choose to believe it and apply it, then that information moves from your mind to your heart, where it becomes part of your soul. And when God wants to check you out, He will look at your heart and your mind. He will see. This is what it says. I am He who searches the mind, the nous, and the heart, the cardia. And I will give to each one of you according to your production. And of course, this was a message to the church at Thyatira. And this is going to happen to us as well. When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ as believers in Christ, we will be evaluated based on our production. Some being wood, hay, and stubble, as in 1 Corinthians 3, and some being gold, silver, and precious stones. The wood, hay, and the stubble, the production done under the filling of the Holy Spirit, that's rewardable. The wood, hay, and stubble is the production done under the flesh that's not rewardable. The gold, silver, and precious stones is the production done under the filling of the Holy Spirit. That is rewardable. So as a Christian, you can produce good works, or you can produce divine good. The good works will be burned up. It's called wood, hay, and stubble. The divine good will be rewarded. It's called gold, silver, and precious stones. So this is what the Lord's going to do. He's going to evaluate us based on our production. He looks into our minds and heart to see our motivation, what our desires are, what our motives are, what our decisions are. In Isaiah 26:3, the prophet Isaiah wrote, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind," that's your mind, "is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." When you are occupied with Christ, that's problem-solving device number 10, your mind is stayed on him. You're occupied with Christ. This is where perfect peace comes from. When you're occupied with Christ, you are at peace. You have rest with God. It's a wonderful way to live. It's called the faith rest drill, problem-solving device number 3. I mean, we've got them all listed in a book. If you don't have the book, you need to write and ask for Christian Problem Solving. We'll send it to you right away, no charge, ever. So here's a way to live. Here's a way to have peace. And it comes from trusting in His Word and assimilating the mind of Christ that gives you this peace in your life. So what is the source of your thoughts? Let's take a look at like a little MRI, spiritual MRI machine here today. What is the source of your thoughts? Where do your thoughts come from? Is the Word of God circulating in your stream of consciousness so that when you're thinking divine viewpoint? Or is there no Word of God circulating in your stream of consciousness so when you're thinking human viewpoint? Which one is it? Lamentations 3:21. Listen to the writer. "This I recall to mind." There is recall. "This I recall to mind." That's remembrance. That's pulling it up out of the frame of reference, pulling it up out of the memory center. Hear the writer saying, "I've learned this, I've applied this, and I remember this. This I recall to my mind. And because of this, I have confidence. It is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." What a thing to say. What an amazing thing. Why can't you say that every day in your life? Every day in your life when you get up, why couldn't you say that? "This I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope. It is because of our Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." That's why you're here today. That's why you're living today. That's why you are prosperous today, because God has blessed you. He has compassion on you. He has been faithful to supply your needs. So your mind is essentially where the spiritual life is lived. Now, I know we get it on the outside. We act holy. We walk holy. We talk holy. We go to church. We dress up and we say, "Hello, brother. Hello, sister. Praise God, brother. Praise God, sister." That's not the real you. That's that little show you put on for people. The real you is what you're thinking in your mind. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, the Bible tells us that our mind does not need to be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. You know, the devil is very good at tricking us. He's very crafty. He can give you some eye candy. He tricked Eve, certainly did, with eye candy. And he can do that because what does he want to do? What does Satan really want to do with you? He wants to recapture your thoughts. He wants you to get your mind off of God, off of Jesus Christ, and to think about things that are temporary. He would rather you think about politics than about doctrine. He would rather you think about entertainment than about the Word of God. And there's nothing wrong with politics. There's nothing wrong with entertainment as long as you understand that this is not the source of happiness. I don't care what politician we elect in the coming election. That's not the answer to what's going on in America. The Word of God is very clear about that. The Word of God says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their sin, then I'll hear their prayers. We are the answer. The reason that a nation like America could go down in history as the biggest sucker nation that ever came along, who would go from great blessing to great historical disaster, is Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Since you rejected knowledge, I'll reject you. You see, what we don't want is we don't want the knowledge of God in this country. We are through with God in this country, supposedly. Not me, not you, but supposedly a lot of other people are. You know, we focus on the gifts, but we forget the giver. We don't want that knowledge anymore. And that's why America is facing a crossroads in history. And that's why every person you listen to is warning you. They're telling you, look out, there's a disaster coming. Look out, there's a train wreck coming. You can hear the whistle blowing right now. If we continue on this course of godlessness, we might not even be a free nation in a few years. I'm not a politician. I'm not here trying to predict the future. I'm just looking at the trends of history. That's all you have to do. Look at the trends of history. And as you look at the trends of history, you can evaluate yourself what's going on in this country. So the Bible is clear that Satan wants to recapture our thoughts, get our mind off of Christ, trick us with a little eye candy, and then we start looking at ourself. Woe is me. It's much easier to have a little pity party than to use a faith rest drill. It's much easier to feel sorry for yourself than to trust in the Lord. It's amazing how Satan seems to neutralize our spiritual life, but sometimes we can even do it for him. That's what he wants to do. He wants to neutralize you. He wants to put you in a place where you have no impact for Jesus Christ and your generation, to get you distracted, to get you detained, to get you discouraged. That's whatever he can do. He will do it so that you will not have an impact for Jesus Christ. You won't evangelize your children. You won't evangelize your neighbors. You won't take a stand for God's word and live by the principles and the procedures taught in the Bible. In other words, he will effectively neutralize you, and you can go on and chase all the details in life, and you can seek your happiness down the my way highway. And in the end, you will find out that you lived your life for nothing that really mattered at all to start with. How pitiful is that? You will spend money you don't have to buy things you don't need to impress people that you don't even like. Isn't that pitiful? If you want to get back in the ball game, let me tell you a simple way to do it. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to reclaim your affections. Reclaim your affections. What I mean by that? 1 John 2:15 tells us, love not the world, neither love the things that are in the world. Because if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The first priority for you and me is to love God. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 4, we love God because he first loved us. And the Bible says in 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, that we keep his mandates, and his mandates are not hard. They're not hard. So motivation, we'll call that motivational virtue, is love for God. If you have personal love for God, that will motivate you to have impersonal love for others, which is God's plan. Problem-solving devices number 7 and 8. Personal love for God, impersonal love for others. So if you can reclaim your affections, the first thing you have to do is quit loving the world. Your happiness does not depend on people, nor does it depend on circumstances. It depends strictly on the provisions that God has provided for you. Secondly, if you want to recapture your thoughts, stop thinking of yourself, the Bible says in Romans 12:3, in terms of arrogance, but think in terms of what? Humility, as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from His Word. This is the battle you'll have in your soul, whether you're going to be arrogant or whether you're going to have humility. Remember that arrogance is identified with three patterns in your thinking: self-justification, self-deception, self-absorption. Arrogance is identified with three patterns in your thinking. I'm going to repeat it. Self-justification, self-deception, self-absorption. If you get into that pattern, you're going to move into self-destruction. Some of you have already destroyed your lives. You may be incarcerated, never to be set free again, because you arrogantly justified why it was okay to take something that wasn't yours. Or you arrogantly justified why it was okay to hurt another person. Some of you lied to yourself, and if you lie to yourself, you have an unrealistic self-image. You will think of yourself in a way that is not right. See, if you have unrealistic self-image, then you want others to treat you in a way you're not worthy of being treated. That's called unrealistic expectations. So, self-deception is pitiful. I mean, look in the mirror. Look at yourself really good. And then there is self-justification, self-deception, self-absorption. This is where we get totally, totally absorbed in doing what we want to do, regardless of what it costs others or ourselves, because we think that's the thing that'll make us happy. Arrogance is the number one enemy of any Christian. Arrogance is rarely talked about and very seldom ever preached about. But arrogance is your enemy. It's in your own mind. It's in your own thoughts. And it is exactly what Satan will foster in you if he can. It's what he did with Eve. He said, God just doesn't want you to be as smart as he is. That's why I told you don't eat that. That's an arrogance thing on her part. Like, well, why would God hide something from me, she thought. Listen. If you get arrogant and you justify why you make bad decisions and you deceive yourself into thinking you're right and everyone else is wrong, you're going to destroy yourself. This is sometimes the attitude of the criminal. He justifies why it's right to steal, and he deceives himself into saying, well, the police are wrong and these people are wrong and they got too much and I don't have, and thus I can get it. No, that's not correct. That's self-absorption, and that leads to self-destruction. So recapture your thoughts, the Bible says, casting down every imagination. This is in 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought in obedience to Christ. This is it. You are what you think, and every thought must be captured, because every time you turn around, you have a sin nature, and that sin nature is always going to pop its little head up, just like the Jack in the Box, and he will pop his head up, and he will try to gather your thoughts. He will try to capture your thinking. You must not let that happen. You must bring your mind into obedience with Christ, and there's no way to do it other than you decide yourself, your volition. You must choose. Do you want to obey God or do you not? Do you want to play games? Do you want to walk the fence? You want to be a 50-50 sort of guy? Well, that's you. You make that decision, but there's no miracle cure for this. You can't go throw a stick on a fire and promise God you're going to behave the rest of your life. You can't go to some retreat or some camp, get emotional, and say, I've had a great close encounter with God, now I'm a changed person. No, you're not. You're still the same person. You still have the same sin nature. You still have the same lust patterns. You still have the same temptations. Until you decide in your soul, no, I won't do that, you will always do it. You are a product of your volition. God gave you a choice. You can make a decision. That's how He's glorified when you say no as a Christian. That's how He's glorified. Isn't this what Jesus did in Matthew 4? When Satan tempted Him three times and the Lord said, no, no, no. That's what you have to do. You have to recapture your thoughts, and then you have to redirect your focus. 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are seen not. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are seen not, well, they are eternal. And then you must redefine your values. Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal. And then you can reorder your priorities. Matthew 6:33, you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all of these things you need in your life, all of your logistical grace provisions will be added to you. Compliments of the grace of God. What I'm telling you is divine viewpoint. You need to think divine viewpoint. Divine viewpoint is the mind of Christ. Therefore, 1 Corinthians 2:16, who has known the mind of the Lord and who will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That entire New Testament is the mind of Christ. And as we learn God's word and make the application into our life, we conform to His image. And we do exactly what Paul said we should do in Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. It is a new perspective of life, based on the infallibility of God's word. Isn't that amazing? You know, God can read your mind like an open book. Hebrews 4:13, there's not a creature hidden from before him, but all things are bare and having been exposed to the eyes of him of whom an account must be given. He knows. He knows what you're thinking. He sees your motives, your thoughts, your intentions, your desires. Isn't it time you reclaimed your affections, got back where you need to be? I know God loves you. I know He has not abandoned you. And I know it's time for you to get serious. I hope you're listening. I hope you're paying attention. Your very life depends on it. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.